Hello and welcome to the Grandcast, episode number 10. Today is Saturday, March 11th, 2017. An earlier podcast than normal. It is 4:25 p.m. right now. My guest today, Dom Damron.
Damron. Yeah.
And to start out the podcast, I like to go over the mission statement and the goals for the show. Mission statement is the same as the previous episode, which was recorded last night. This is the first time I've ever done two episodes in 1 week, but that's how the scheduling worked out.
Your liver's not going to be able to take it.
I know. And the purpose of the Grandcast is to explore the comedy scene in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as it exists in 2017 through a series of conversations. And the goals for the podcast, number one, to post one new episode weekly. I'm going to stick to that goal, even though we're recording two episodes today. I think I'm just going to delay the publishing for new episodes by a week. In case there's a week where I can't record an episode, then I won't miss anything.
You got a week backed up. You got a week stocked up.
Yeah, because I don't want Sean M. to not have something to listen to on Monday.
Yeah.
Once he gets in the...
Sean M.? Who is Sean M.?
He's in Planned Parenthood.
Oh, Sean. Okay, sorry. Sorry, Sean. I don't know if you hear that, but yeah, sorry, Sean.
I like to preserve people's anonymity, not say their name without their permission.
Who exactly is this?
He knows. He's listening. And then the second goal is to make at least one person's day better through the creation of quality content.
Hell yeah.
So we're going to do that one together.
That's neat. I'm down.
Excellent.
I'm down.
Yeah, so the show is divided up into two sections. The first one is an interview section. This episode, it's going to be a little bit different because you came here wanting to talk about podcasting. That's something you're interested in. So,
I am.
We're going to go through the interview part, and then we'll get into a discussion on podcasting.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
Down.
And then we'll take a short break, refill our drinks, and then move on to some mini segments.
I literally have a mini hotel bar over here, so I don't know if I will need a refill of a beer, liquor, and water.
Yeah. I want to keep you well hydrated for this. We got an interesting bottle of beer here that we're sharing. It's from Brewery Amagang in Cooperstown, New York.
That is not real.
It is.
They made that up as promotional. Amagang. That is a city in, what is the place called? What is the whole thing? Westeros.
Westeros. Yeah, this Westeros. Is a Game of Thrones licensed beer called Seven Kingdoms. A hoppy wheat so ale, 6.9% alcohol.
Tyrion would not approve. He only approves of like 4,000%. He's a drunk. He doesn't drink anymore. I feel like he's sobered up in the last couple seasons. Just saying.
A little bit, yeah. Once he got like abducted,
he has like an actual job now.
These are $2 at Martha's Vineyard right now, so. I think it's pretty tasty.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Like it.
Kind of cloudy wheat beer.
Yeah. I don't really drink a lot of craft beer, to be honest.
No? What's your go-to drink?
My go-to drink? Last night, I had got an ice cup and poured a bottle of Hennessy in it. And realized that I'm old as fuck because I don't even use chasers anymore. It's just like whatever. Craft beer makes me fart. That's what it is. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you know what I mean? You're hanging out, and I don't like to feel sleepy and farty at the same time. I don't want to fall asleep on someone's couch and then be pooting the entire time. And then you wake up, and they just have your shit ready for you, and they're like, you need to go.
I wonder, maybe you have some sort of like wheat sensitivity or wheat allergy?
I don't know. I used to love Two Hearted. Two Hearted used to be my shit. When I used to bike at Jimmy John's, we'd all meet at Gardella's and go get some Two Hearteds. But I was drinking Two Hearted while I was having sex with this person, not simultaneously, but that was our go-to. It'd be like Cabernet and some Two Hearted. And the thing is about having sex with somebody who's like basically not your committed girlfriend or wife is that you don't want to fart around them. And it's a, you know, you're twerking a lot. It's a strenuous activity getting in there. And so it'd be like, man, you know what I mean? I'm in the middle of this and I need to fart or poop. I'm not even sure. And it just was too much. So I just started, I cut it out of my life. I said, if I'm going to have sex twice every 2 years, I'm going to make sure I'm ready for it and not have craft beer in my stomach. Yeah.
It's probably a good policy to have.
Yeah, and it goes too fast. Plus, like, I hang out with a lot of punks, so they, like, drink PBR. So if I drink 3, like, 6-7% beers, I'm feeling pretty good. Oh, and yeah. Then, like, PBR is, like, 0.5%. So you're just sitting there with no beer watching people drink. It's annoying.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
First interview question.
What is it?
What is your favorite color?
What is my favorite color? Probably blue. Blue to wear. And then black. Black is my favorite color, actually. Black. Yeah, black is my favorite color. Blue and black, the combination, but black is my favorite color, man. Yeah.
Normally, I would ask favorite shade of your favorite color, but black is, I guess gray is a shade.
I actually
of
like
black.
Light black. I'm a fan of light black. Have you seen it?
Like light gray?
No, or I don't just know. I was just snowballing somewhere to nowhere. It's just black. Black is not no compromise. That's what I like about black. Black is just, you know where it stands when you see it.
It's a very binary color.
Yeah, you know, it's fucking, I went to Creston, so binary, 2, right? 2.
0 yeah. or 1. Yeah. You get 2 options.
Yeah. And you're computer guys. Don't live that language out of me. All right. Nah, man, fucking, yeah. Black. Black is the shit. And it just goes with everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just a good color. People get kind of freaked out when you're in all black, too, which I like that. That's cool.
As kind of like the, I don't think that started with like goth emo. They probably just stole it from like the punks. It's like punks.
Which came first? Okay, yeah. Then you're right. Punks came first. Who's wearing? And then there was like bikers before that though. It was like Marlon Brando's and shit would be wearing in the Wild One. He had all black on. Interesting enough, he looked like the early village person.
Me?
No, not you.
Oh.
Not
what? Village people.
Which village person would you be right now? Would you? I'm going to go out on a limb and just go college village person. Like, very much the middle of the road guy. He's the least flamboyant. He's probably the tour manager for the village people. It's kind of like, guys, we got to get back on the bus.
That would probably be a good job. Like, you wouldn't have much competition for the lady fans.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. I don't know. I feel like it would just get too rowdy, though.
The guy with the chaps,
they would kick me out because I would keep asking them to put on whole pants. And be like, I don't get it. This guy's no good. Get rid of him.
When did you first become interested in performing comedy?
I don't know, man, like, interested in performing comedy. I'm not exactly sure. I know it was around the time when I met Erin. I can't remember when she brought up Dog Story. But I know that I got serious, or whatever you would want to call serious, as far as, like, committing it to being something that I do every week and, like, write shit and, like, basically have a job in which you make no money. That would be, like, 2-3 months ago when I found out that I knew about No Outlet, but then I think Nichols left and they needed people to write Newsflash. Mm-hmm. And I was approached with it. And I was like, fuck yeah, that's what I want to do. That's what I've been trying to do. Because I used to always run into Erin Becca, and I'd be like, yo, let's do something. She'd be like, all right, yeah, call me. Then she'd just like disappear for like 3 months, and I find her again, I'd be like, hey, Erin, let's do something. And so finally, when she came around, she's like, I have something for you to do. I jumped on top of it. And then all of it kind of, you know, the stand-up and the ideas for other shit all kind of came at the same time, too.
Nice. Yeah. So pretty recently.
Yeah, pretty recently. As far as, like, serious about it, I've always been, like, a joke cracker and shit. You know what I mean? Always had a sense of humor or whatnot. But as far as using it to employ myself, I guess, yeah, not until recently, as a couple months ago. For show. Vodka time. This is warm.
Yeah. It's really warm in this apartment, so room temperature is probably like 85.
Fuck yeah. It's supposed to hurt. You know what I mean? It's vodka. I'm going to pour it in this beer. I don't give a fuck.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
It's an aggressive move.
I actually had a drink. I was going to make it last night for my friend's birthday party, but I was like, slow the fuck down. It's called what I like to call... Well, I have two. One's called Irish Professional. The other one's called Thug Professional. You know, that's racist, but I'm black, so I can use that. You know what I mean? Like, and basically, Irish Professional is... or Irish Yuppie. I've been thinking about changing the name, but I like Irish Professional. You know what I mean? It's Cabernet Sauvignon, and you take two shots of Jameson, you pour it in it. Easy. Thug Professional is Hennessy. Two shots of Hennessy.
Just straight up?
In it.
Oh, in the Cabernet.
Absolutely. It's wow. Fucking awesome. I actually almost broke my arm off of that because I was so drunk I decided to ride my bike to go get Johnny B's. Yeah.
Oh, Johnny B's.
Yeah, well, I used to live on Eastern and fucking... was Eastern and Isabella by Eastern Hall. And I drank one bottle of that shit. I was like, I need a hot dog! And so I went and got one. And then I was on my way back and I fucking face planted. And it was this couple. They were literally like about to get their domestic violence on. Like they were arguing. We could hear them up the street. And they just stopped. And they were like, "You all right, man?" And I was just like, "Oh, get them." And my friend Max was me. I was like, "Get me up and out of here." I was so embarrassed. I didn't even feel it. I was just like, I just literally fucking ate shit so hard. You could hear. It was just like the audible. You know, like when sometimes when people fall, you ever get that? Like your friends ever do stupid shit? And it's like when they fall, you don't hear it. So it's like it's funny. You can like laugh it off a little bit. But when you hear like that audible, like, you know what I mean? Like it's like, holy shit. That
something just happened.
That guy's hurt. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know what that had to do with anything that you just asked me. But, you know, whatever. Sprawl.
No, it's great. This is a semi-improvisational podcast, so if you want to go off on tangents and get into other topics, that's
the vodka. The vodka thrones. That's what it was because I mixed my beer and vodka. Yes.
Improv comedy is essentially a game.
This tastes like the inside of Ramsay Gordon's mouth.
You've tasted the inside of his mouth?
Or no, Ramsay Snow. Sorry. Oh. No, I've imagined it, but no, I've never tasted it personally.
That's how I imagine it would taste. Yeah.
Just terrible.
In the hours that I've spent thinking about what it might taste like.
Doesn't he eat people on that show or no? Is he not the person eater? Somebody eats people on that show, don't they?
People meet? I don't know.
Walder Frey eats people on accident. It's his sons, because he's a little bitch. I hate Walder Frey. I'm so glad he's dead.
Wow. That's cold.
What? He was an ass. He was a complete ass. Anyway, sorry. Next question.
Improv comedy is essentially a game. Do you like any other kinds of games?
Any other kinds of games?
Yeah. Board games, card games, video games.
Shit. Sports. I don't play video games. Video games literally give me a stomachache. Like, if I sit there for about, like, an hour and I'm in this world where, like, I'm not progressing and I'm just like, you have so many other things to do. Go do something. Not to look down on video games or people who play them because it is what it is. But for me personally, I get an actual, like you're about to fart. Like, the craft beer feeling, actually. It's similar to that. I'm just like, I need to get up and go do something. I like playing some spades. I don't really play that many games, I don't think, honestly. I like to play mind games. I like to fuck with people. I think that's like my main game.
Huh.
Where, yeah, I like making people feel weird because it's fun. Especially when I'm off the henne. I like to fuck with people a lot.
Hmm.
Yeah.
As, like, trolling people?
Kinda. I guess that's new for what I do. I'm the OG of this trolling shit, okay? I don't know what that's called, but I've been doing this forever. I just think it's fun. Like yesterday, I was at this birthday party, and my friend's girlfriend comes. I don't know her. She she brought Girl Scout cookies.
Ooh, what kind?
The Samoas or whatever, which I'm like, okay, look, if you're going to bring some Girl Scout cookies, bring the either the Thin Mints or the peanut butter ones. Mm-hmm. So first mistake. Second mistake, not a mistake, but something to give me room to critique you on. She just, like, sets them down on this table. Like, there's, like, imagine, like, six or seven people sitting around. We're all smoking, chilling, listening to music. And then she walks in the room with her friend. And she just, like she introduces herself, obviously. And then she sets the box of, like, Samoas down on, like, this coffee table. And then, like, proceeds to go do what she did. And I was, like, I was just giving her shit because I was, like, you didn't even put this on a platter. You didn't, like, pull them out. You didn't even open the box. You're just, like, here's the snack. Get at it. And it's something so minute, but it was just, it was fun to watch her feel like, oh, I'm on the spotlight now. I don't like this because she clearly didn't like it, but I don't know. I don't care. I don't fucking care. That's my game. My game's
nihilism.
Nihilism, a little bit, I guess. Yeah, you know, not really. There's a purpose. It's fun. Grow up. Toughen up. Huh. You know, I'm making sure everybody has their emotional safety pads on at all times. I'm just checking. Cup check of the soul. Yeah.
Interesting.
The cup check of the soul. That's going to be my first comedy special.
That'd be a good title.
Yeah, that's not bad, right?
Mild, medium, hot, or fire?
Fire.
All the time?
All the time. Anytime you describe something and you're like, I don't know if you do it this way, but anytime me and my compadres say something is fire, that means that shit is fucking dope. It's also, though, it's funny, black people will be like, this shit fire, but at the same time, they'd be like, bro, this shit wet. Like, which one is it? Is it wet fire? That's not a fucking thing.
Wet is also good?
Wet is also good. Dope, wet, fire, bomb. Bad is out. Only, like, receding hairlines use bad. They'd be like, man, that shit bad. But they use a sound like that. Yeah. Bad died with Bernie Mac. No one's going to hear this in Chicago. They won't get mad.
Probably maybe. Not. I don't think there's any listeners in Chicago yet. Well, Cam. Cam's in Chicago now.
Oh, shit. What up, Cam? Oh, man. I miss him already. Yeah. I do. That's crazy. That's sad. But he'll be back. I mean, not like that, but he'll be back. Like, just
from time to time for shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. What's it like working at Stella's?
I put in my 2 weeks notice. I can say whatever I want. Oh, my God. I hate it. I like the people I work with. Like, they're mostly okay, I guess. Like, the people who I do fuck with, I'm like, I fuck with you guys. Like, you're super cool. But there's this thing about Stella's. Oh, this is such a good question. I'm so glad I get to go in on this. All right, look.
Just don't burn any bridges.
I don't give a fuck about bridges. All right, so look, because I swim. Black person who can swim. But, okay, so when I first got there was this thing. And as a server, I'm a server, okay? I've served in, like, a lot of Grand Rapids. I've had, like, fucking 50 jobs in my short lifetime, okay? There is no real better serving gig than, like, Stella's, really, because it's consistently busy. You don't have to wear, like, a uniform. The menu's relatively easy. And it's, like, the ambiance is built to not be necessarily outwardly friendly, so you don't have to do that. Hey, how's it going? Welcome to Stella's. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can just be, hey, what's up? We're cool. Welcome to Stella's. So it had, like, when I first got there, it was like this weird, like I don't know, fucking cloud of entitlement over the servers. Like, they're like, we're the cool servers, which I'm like, you're serving burgers, you're not a cool anything. Like, this is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I feel that way about serving food. I'm like, go do some other shit. You know what I mean? I want to go do some other shit. But either way, they were, like, super entitled. It's, some of those servers have been changed out by this point. But they're not even the worst part as much as, like, the people who come to Stella's, because you've been to Stella's, you know, it's draped in all black.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this, it's supposed to be like a Joy Division slash The Cure thingy going on. You know what I mean? And even still, that's cool. But the people who come to Stella's are like Trump supporters. And they will come in and they'll be like, oh, that's so interesting. So it's basically like they get to come visit their goth niece without even getting to go see that person. Because they're like, this is so alternative. This is so cool. Like, you know what I mean?
Hmm.
It's super annoying. A lot of people are super obnoxious. Plus, I'm the host. So I get to see people come in at the door. And I get to see that wide look in their eyes and like, oh my God. And I get to shut it down every time. I guess that's the best part about my job is to say, fuck you. We don't have any tables. That's my favorite part. But no, the job itself is like, meh. It's $10 an hour though. So that's a good hosting gig. If you know anything about hosting gigs in the city. Or, I mean, at least in this city, hosting gigs are, like, not shit, and they ask you to do a lot. So, $10, I don't really have to do that much. And I can wear my own clothes. And I wore the shirt with the naked lady on it, so... And they don't give a fuck. So, I mean, all those parts are super cool. The dude who owns it is pretty cool. He's, like, a liberal and shit, so... You know, he likes to ask how people are feeling, which is better than working for some douchebag from, like, Waylon, who's just like, I don't give a shit how you feel. Get a buzz cut, son. You know what I mean? Like, I hate that guy, so that's cool. But mostly the people that go there are completely douchey. It pisses me off, honestly.
Because
they just come and they're like, I don't know. I hate that they don't go to any outer areas. They just come to this place, and so it's packed full, like, everybody from like Missouri and just all these Rust Belt motherfuckers who just like, I want a good burger. And it's like, you don't even like this place for real. You don't know shit about, I don't know. I get real idealistic with this shit sometimes.
Huh.
But yeah, I kind of like the money. That's my answer.
That's fair.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to eat at Stella's?
Jeez, man, I'm about to go in. No, I'll be nice. I like the Roadrunner with no tomatoes. The Roadrunner with no tomatoes is pretty good.
It's a burger?
No, that's like the chicken wrap. The burgers, they fry the burgers.
They fry them?
They fry the burgers.
Like pan fry or deep fry?
Like, I mean, I guess it would be a pan fry. It's a range. Mm-hmm. So it's like a big, you know, big long stove.
Like on a flat top?
Flat top, yeah. Flat top fry. That shit. So I don't really believe in that. I will get a Stella's burger if I'm super stressed out and I just need to shovel some food in me. That it's kind of like eating Thanksgiving turkey. Like, you know, it's pumped full of chemicals, but it's like, this is going to put me to sleep.
Yeah, they are very heavy burgers.
It's food heroin. That's basically what it is. It's like, I'm just going to rock out after this. So if I've had like a super stressful day, I will eat a burger there. But now I usually get like the Roadrunner or something just because I like my burgers grilled, personally.
Flame grilled.
Yeah, that's the other thing. People are like, I heard this is the best burger in GR.
Nope.
Shh. It's not. Choo Choo Grill. Go to Choo Choo Grill.
That's your favorite?
Choo Choo Grill is one of my favorites. For sure. For a corporate chain, Houlihan's has a fucking good ass burger.
I've never been there.
It's good. It's like actually, they actually grill the shit. You know what I mean? And that's one of the unique things. So I've worked there and at Stella's. Both of these jobs I'm quitting, so it doesn't even matter. But I've eaten their burgers side by side. Who lands better?
Hmm.
Is what it is.
You had the Johnny B's burger?
No.
It's not flame grilled. It's on the flat top, but that's my favorite burger in town.
I was one of those dangerously nostalgic people who were just like, I don't want no new hot dog place on my bricks. You know what I mean? Because Yesterdog was down the street.
Yeah.
So it took me years to step in the place and order a hot dog, which is fucking awesome. It's such a good hot dog.
Yeah.
They do really good barbecue too.
Like their brisket sandwich.
I've never gotten anything outside of it. I've never got anything. Because I love what they do with the bun. I think that that's the difference. It's like, that's the sober hot dog. That's the one, if you're looking for actual quality and integrity in the hot dog, Johnny B's. If you're fucked up, go to Yesterdog. Because not only is it like soft, but if you don't have a lot of time, you can actually mold it like a like a piece of dough and just shove the whole thing in your mouth at once.
Oh yeah.
And if you're stumbling out of Billy's, no one's gonna judge you. They're just glad that you left Billy's alive.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad for that guy. I've seen people crawl out of Billy's looking like Tom Hanks getting off the island, and they're just like, I made it. That guy almost suffocated me with his armpit hair, but I made it. Oh, and he this yesterdog. It's really like interesting. You just stand outside the Euro House at like 2 a.m. and just watch people leave Billy's. Oh, it's fucking awesome. I love it. I've done it sober before, just like smoking a joint. I guess that's sober to me, but smoking a joint and watching people just get fucked up. It's fun.
Yeah, Billy's, it can be a really fun place, but
Billy's is dope. Billy's, I won't shit on Billy's.
Wild. Like too much.
I used to get snuck into Billy's when I was like younger and shit.
Ooh.
I was like 19, fucking used to do poetry across the street. And I was such a little ratchet fuck. I would like get stuck in the back and then drink the drinks off the rail and walk home barefoot. Like, yeah, I was fucking wild. Now this is back when I didn't even have a TV in my house. That's how fucking crazy I was. I thought I could live by myself and smoke Newports in my apartment because that was cool. Yeah, fuck it though. I don't want to burp in your mic.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
And Josh appreciates that also.
Who's Josh?
Josh Heller. He's a dedicated listener to the podcast.
He doesn't like when people burp.
Actually, I don't know. I haven't asked him. I guess not, but I'm assuming things, and that's
Josh,
not a good thing
no
to
burping
do.
For you. I mean, it's dedicated. That's my policy. I think this beer's working.
We'll see if it turns on the farts later.
That's dark. That's dark craft beer. That's really what fucks me over.
The darker beers?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that uses different grains.
Not
or
like
something.
The oatmeal stout, because I don't know. Like that's like basically a Bud Light. That's how it's been explained to me. Of like dark beers, but like your Dragon Milks, your any of that type of stuff, stouts, any of that type of stuff, too heavy. Can't do it. Yeah.
Let's talk about stand up.
Okay. What do you want to know?
I don't know. That's all I have. I don't have specific questions.
Shit, dude. I started doing stand-up really recently, like 6 weeks ago. I haven't written one joke for it. I did stand-up at what could be called stand-up, but it really was like a TED Talk to me at fucking No Outlet like this past summer.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the summer? What the fuck month is it? We haven't had a summer yet. It was last year. Yeah, it was last summer, right? Because I did a joke, or I did like basically one long story about getting pissed on at Lucky's, which didn't happen. I'm not
that
gonna
didn't
lie.
Happen?
No, it didn't happen.
Oh my gosh.
You remember that shit?
Yes. I was
no,
there
that,
that
shit didn't happen.
Oh
I
my
fucking,
goodness.
No, I made that shit up. I mean, like, I've had a lot of uncomfortable experiences at Lucky's, and yeah. I could imagine it, but I was just like, fuck it, I'm just going to write something. But that experience turned me off to writing jokes for, like, a while. I'm just now, like, awakening to, like, all right, I'm going to start writing, like, a closing joke. But for the last 6 weeks... 6 weeks, 5 weeks. I've been at Tip Top over on the west side on Tuesdays, and I just go up and I don't write shit. I just improv it, and it's beautiful. I love it.
Tuesday nights.
I love it. Tuesday nights. It's so
fun. You go every
awesome.
Week?
Yeah. I commit myself to doing that, and there's this palpable, like nervousness. Like, you're going to be exposed as a fraud. Like, you're like... This is the week in which you fail. You know what I mean? Yeah, but I am attracted to that. So I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm going to keep going. And it's awesome. Like, I got to close last week. The everything, I don't know. I love it. It's something that, like, initially, because what I want to do is produce television. That's my eventual goal. So I started doing it as a means to an end to, it, like, basically create a network and, like, get my voice out there. And, you know, I firmly believe that if you're in improv, you have to do both. Like, if you say you're in comedy, you have to do both. I or at least try both. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be actively trying to tour or anything like that, but you have to try both, because you need to be able to be funny without props, without support, with nothing but like a mic and light. You know what I mean? Hmm. And that's it. So that's why I started doing it. But I didn't start writing because I was like, I'm not like these guys. I'm not trying to go to other cities and shit. And then every week that I do it, like some fucked up shit will happen to me during the week. And I'm like, yes, I get to get this out. So it's become like multi-level therapeutic and just like a thrill at the same time because I'm like, you know, you're actually kind of good at this. I really like doubt myself a lot on that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but it's fucking awesome. It's so much fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you prefer stand-up or improv?
I almost said stand-up right away, but okay, so I prefer the... I like the loose nature of improv. I like improvisation as a concept. But I like stand-up because you have to show and prove. And I don't like that a lot of improv, a lot of things that I see are like people are like comfortable with meandering and basically it looks like practice. Hmm. And like when you're on stage, you can, when you're doing a set, you can go up there and practice, but the disapproval is more immediate and it discourages you from doing that same thing again. You know what I mean? Versus the improv scene in general is more accepting, more like, you know, let's build a place, a safe space for us to create. Stand-up is like, if you're not funny, we're going to ask you to get off stage. You know what I mean? And I like that. I like that competitive edge on it because it's not being competitive with really anyone else, even though it is. You know, obviously, like, you'll see other people be like, you know, you're glad when certain people go before you and you're also pissed off when other people go before you because you're like, that person was good. I don't want them to go before me. That person was shitty. I'm about to eat them up because right afterwards it's that lull on it and everybody's basically looking at you from the audience like, please save me because I need to laugh at least once. And so, you know, you go up there and you get to save the day. But it's like, you know, it's still that thing where it's like, you know, it's immediate, you know what I mean? Like, you're up there on stage. If you're not telling jokes, if there's, like, a pause in what you're saying, if you're not thinking about it, if you're not actively trying to search out the funny and work with the crowd, it's going to show. And I like that, you know what I mean? I think that's cool. It makes you compete with yourself and make yourself better versus, like, you know, getting a gold star and being like, hey, that was good. Try again next week. You know what I mean? Like, at stand-up, they'll be like, maybe you should watch. Maybe you should watch for the next week, couple weeks, forever.
Like, losing hurts more, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think totally. I think it's so funny because, especially around here, the stand-up crowd isn't even that big. But when you have a bad set, you feel it. You feel it way. You feel like that crowd hates you. Even though they don't even give a shit. Like, they're not going to remember who you are after you leave us. But all that pressure that you put on yourself, because there's no one else to blame. You can't... There's no pockets to run to. You can't say, oh, well, I did kind of shitty, but this guy also wasn't on top of it either. We all just kind of feel... No. You're on your own. You know what I mean? And I like that. I like that you're just, like, up there and it's up to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the funnest part about it. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I fucking love stand-up, dude.
Who are some of your favorite comedians?
Ooh. Okay. Sarah Silverman, Harris Whittles, Hicks.
Bill Hicks.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. Just being angry.
Yeah. He was a very angry person.
Angry, but surgical. Because there's a difference between that obtuse, you know, you're just swinging for the fences, hoping that you hit something, and somebody who can pinpoint and be like, this is what's wrong with you, and I'm going to tell you everything about it. I'm going to look at you like a diamond and hit every facet of what's wrong with you. You know what I mean? Like, I like that.
Yeah.
Who else? Bill Burr. I love Bill Burr. He's just modern and breaking down walls. And he doesn't give a fuck, and I like that. Robin Williams, is because he doesn't use a mic and he just utilizes his whole space. That's dope. CK, obviously, just for digging in his id and pulling shit out. And then the number, the literally 1 in 1.5, and like it's intermittent, or they can switch or whatever, you know, is Larry David and fucking Richard Pryor. Yeah.
Yeah. You looking forward to the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Man, I'm not even looking forward to it because it's gonna drive me nuts. I'm gonna be Googling that shit every day. So I'm just like, just let the shit come out and I'll watch it. But he is like, he's a genius because he does comedy out of minutia. Like that one, like you ever see that episode where he's walking down the street, he's eating an apple with Jeff Garland, and he throws the apple core in someone else's trash can, and the guy comes out. Have you seen that one?
I have, but I don't remember specifically what happened.
The dude comes out, and he's like, "Hey, buddy, that's my fucking trash can." And he's like, "What? I have to throw this away, so you just rather me let it?" And it's like it's an exchange that it's like, if you're a pedestrian in any shape or form, you've at least had something like that where you've seen people's shit out and you want to throw something away. And you know what I mean? Like, just him making something out of that. When I, like, started thinking about it the way he thought about it, it encouraged me to, like, really mine into my own experiences. You know what I mean? And, like, really find something, because he can find something out of everything. Like, if you watch a Curb episode, there's so many just points that he hits. And then he doesn't waste anything. He uses it all. Like, that's fucking genius, man. So, yeah, him and then Pryor, because he's just honest. It's this honesty. Like, that's my number one thing. It's like, he's, you know, the free... Every person, to me, in my opinion, of a person who's accomplished zero in life, but if you're asking for my advice, you should watch the freebasing, like, The when he's talking about freebasing and setting himself on fire, because it's a piece that can easily go from drama to comedy, because he's being so fucking honest. And at the end of the day, he's not even really telling jokes as much as just telling you what happened. He's just like, "Yeah, dude, I lit myself on fire while trying to get high off cocaine." And it's like, there's no self-preservation in it. That's why I don't like people who are like guarded in general. You know what I mean? I like people who are willing to, you know, that's the masochistic side of me, I guess.
Someone that's an open book?
Yeah, who's an open book, who realizes that their passages are kind of fucked up in some places. You might have good chapters, but everybody has a fucked up chapter.
Yeah.
And people who don't acknowledge that, to me, are lacking in self-awareness. And that's my biggest I'm going to come for you. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, dude.
What are some of your favorite comedy movies?
Pineapple Express, because I'm a stoner. Best stoner comedy ever made. The Wash.
Better than Half Baked?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. Pineapple Express, it's just, man, all like, every little in-joke, just like... The Snickle Fritz? That's such a real thing. I love that. And I've been sold the Snickle Fritz before. Every year I have a phase. It's right around tax season. It's probably coming up where I try and sell weed again. I just watch good. I think it happens because at this point I watch Goodfellas like once a year. I used to watch it like once a week. And then I was like, "Dude, this is influencing your life."
Yeah.
And fucking... Now it's like, every time I watch that movie, I'll get on some like, "I just want all my income in cash." And so then I'll start like trying to bag up weed and shit. That and The Wire makes me want to do both of those.
But in the end of Goodfellas, like, they all end up dead or in prison.
Yeah, but everybody ignores that part. And he's still got a house at the end of it.
In The Wire, like, everybody gets killed.
No, not everybody. Ray Liotta lives. You know what I mean? And you gotta think. This is the thing. So, Robert Niro and Paul Sorvino go to jail. But what makes you think it's not like jail the first time they showed it? He's probably still eating lobster, still getting, you know, illegal bottles of wine, and like he had French bread delivered to him in prison.
Shaving garlic with a razor blade. Yeah. I don't think that's what prison's like anymore.
And tell Vinny not to add too many onions. You know what I mean? Like, he's still telling Vinny not to add all them fucking onions. But it's like, dude. So it gets to that point where I'm like, yeah, Rose. And everybody has a person that they're like, you're getting a snickle fritz, bro. That and the lingerer. All sorts of just the lingerer, the person who won't leave, get out. That is so funny. My favorite, one of my favorite parts, because I have every part of that movie is my favorite part. But one of my favorite parts of that movie is when they wake up the next morning and they're like, we slept for, what do you say? We slept for 13 hours or some shit like that. And he's like, they're trying to start the car and he's just like, the car killed itself, man. So boring. Listen to NPR because he falls asleep talk radio. And I'm like, that would happen to me. I fall asleep to NPR every night. That's so funny. So yeah, that movie, The Wash with Snoop and fucking Dr. Dre in it. So underrated. So underrated. You gotta watch that shit. Such a funny movie.
The Wash. Yeah, I haven't seen that.
That movie. Barely anyone has. It came out in like 2001. And like they decided to make a movie. And it's all about how Dr. Dre won't pay the rent to Snoop. And it's like a bunch. It's almost going to be described as like vignettes. Because each like scene is like a individual joke. But like George Wallace is in it. And like, man, I forget the dude's name. But he's funny. This other comedian is in it. Fucking Debo from Friday is in it. There's like so many cameos too, like Shaq, Ludacris, Pauly Shore makes an appearance in it. And it's just like a, I just am like, man, I like that because the structure of it's so loose that they were just like, we just need an overarching theme. What can you think of? You won't pay the rent. All right, let's tell jokes for like an hour and a half. It's a beautiful movie to smoke weed to. And Snoop is just fantastic in it.
Yeah.
I'd say those two, right? I just don't want to miss anything. I don't think anyone's ever going to ask me what my favorite comedy is again. So I want to know. Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. If you think of any more.
I think I got a roach right there. Not that it bothers me at
it's
all.
It's a stink bug.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I don't want to smush it because it might stink.
Yeah, I can never tell in my place anyway because I'm always smoking so much fucking bud that it's like... Go ahead, stink up my room. I'm just gonna stink it up some more. I get very confrontational with stink bugs. Yeah. You know, wait. As long as points out here, it's funny.
Alright.
Just the other day. Okay. So I was like, I was kinda drunk. And I came home from the bar and I noticed that like I had cobwebs in like every corner of my like house.
Yeah.
So I like took my broom and I started sweeping them up. And as I started like sweep them up, because I'm drunk, I'm talking to these cobwebs. And I'm just like saying really like weird borderline shit like, you guys can't live around here! And like all sorts of shit like that, like talking in that voice. And then like I had this real, like you know what I mean, like get the hell out of here! And I was imagining like all sorts of little mini spiders and mini spider children, like mini spider single moms, like just being like, oh, where am I going? And I'm like, no, get the fuck out of here. Like, you can't live here. Go back to my... And I almost said Mexico. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I totally get it. I get it now. You know what I mean? Like, and for like a quick second, I was in the shoes of a Republican who hates immigration because I didn't want any of these bugs in my fucking house. I was just like, I was getting rid of... It was like destroying... It was like destroying HUD. At one time, I was just destroying a project. I was like, get all these shitty houses out of my apartment. And I just like swept them all up. Well, fuck spiders. They bit me the other day and I was pissed. Anyway, moving on. Sorry.
I get cobwebs, but I never see spiders. Like, what the fuck is making the cobwebs? Like,
but that's what I'm saying. They're being too crafty. Because yeah. It's like they know. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you have eight eyes. I see you. You know what I'm saying? And you see me. So I'm going to get rid of this stupid house for you. I never feel bad about that. But I always think about this shit. Like, back in the day when there would be, like, a fly. It's so weird, man. Because, you know, your kid, you know, like, when they have those things on Maury where they're like, your kid might be a serial killer if he's torturing, like, big animals. But like, what if you torture flies? Isn't that disturbing as well? I used to like take my grandma's hairspray and like spray them with the thing, and then just sit there and watch them like a disturbed little fuck. Yeah, I'd be like, you're never getting out of here alive. Shit. But fuck flies, they're disease carriers.
Yeah, parasites. I heard they
throw up 7 times when they land. Is that true?
So I've heard that. I don't know if it's true.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Those flies have a bad name.
Yeah, I don't like flies, mosquitoes, cockroaches. I like spiders.
I like spiders in the cage, perhaps, but not like, no, not running wild in the crib. No way.
It took me a while. Outside the kitchen window there, I had a spider that set up shop.
Outside.
That's but cool. I got to study it like up close because I would leave the light on at night. Mm-hmm. And so like all the little bugs would fly towards the light and get stuck in the webs. So it had like a great source of food.
Would you watch it eat?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I can show you a video on my phone, like a slow motion video of it like wrapping up the bug.
That's cool. That's cool. But just not in my house. That's my thing, though. It's like I've always maintained that, too, though. It's like, outside, that's you guys. If I get bit outside, I'm not even mad.
That's on me.
But in here is the danger zone. It's so fucked up. Like, because, okay, it's like this weird, like, you remember in Schindler's where he shoots the guy from his, like, bedroom?
Yeah.
And shit? That's how I feel with bugs and shit in the house. It's this weird overboard, like it's not just like, cause some people will be like, oh, scoop it up on a piece of paper, let it outside. Mm-hmm. Or like they'll kill it and then that's the end of it. But me, I always take this personal vendetta against the bugs in my house. I'm like, you have crossed the line. Or like mice. Oh, mice get it bad. I'm ready for mice. So any type of rodent, and it's a weird murderous instinct to me. Maybe that's where I channel all that shit. Until the purge comes around and we can actually kill humans for real, I'm going to kill mice with a lot of charisma.
What would you do on a purge night?
Oh, I would be inside. I would be inside. I have not the balls. I don't have any of the balls. And I'd be like, my thing is about like, okay, like, because I watch a lot of trap shit. Like a lot of like rappers and stuff, and I don't even watch just the rap. I'm perverted. I will watch like the violence videos, and they'll be like gang, 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 and all that type of shit. And I'm like, how do you guys get into shootouts? Because I would be so worried about one bullet. All it takes is one bullet to hit you. So it's like a day where people can just go outside and just kill people. Like no. And plus, I think I deserve to live. I would just stay inside and smoke. Find like a different place to chill. Dom is not home. It is the purge. Please leave a message. I don't even know. I would create a purge voicemail though.
Nice.
For myself.
Waffles or pancakes? Mm. And why?
Waffles. Because I've had. You ever been to Real Food?
I haven't. Cafe? I've heard good things.
They have a waffle sandwich. And if you know anything about me, I'm a fucking sandwich fanatic. And so, yeah, dude. Fuck that. Pancakes. I had pancakes last night and I gave them away. They literally went between 3 people. All my friends, like, I was like, here, start eating this. Because I got, like, the big breakfast there. And I was like, you know, when you have to assess the situation, like, quickly, and like, what is the appendix of this whole situation? What can I get rid of? Pancakes. Boom. Get the fuck out. They even serve it on a separate plate because they know you're going to get rid of it. It's like, don't even bother. You know what I mean? So I gave it to my friend. She didn't finish them. I ate a little bit, and then I gave it to my friend Jake, which, if you have any food, he's the closer. He's the guy. He will get rid of that shit for you. For sure. Shout out to Jake for finishing my pancakes.
Thank you, Jake.
Gooby.
Why don't you have a Facebook account?
Because I want to like people.
That's a good answer. Yeah.
I want to like people, and oh god, such a good question. Fucking, there is an overabundance of opinions in the world by people who, okay, so I'm an opinionated person, obviously. But I'm channeling my opinions into actual craft where I have to do work to put them out. So, like, if I have an opinion about a political person, I make it in a sketch. Or I take 4 hours on a Sunday and write 4 jokes. I'm shitty at that, but kind of good at the same time. People have like back in the day, like when we were in the 70s or some shit, you had a dunce cap. In the 1800s, you had a dunce cap. In the 70s, you had like if you said, I'm going to be an astronaut, your dad would look at you and be like, son, no. It's not going to happen for you. You know what I mean? I've seen your report cards all the way up to sixth grade. You're not going to do it. It's not for you. And you would be like, okay, you would have time. Now everybody's just gratified and vindicated, and they're like, if you put it on Facebook, that's a real opinion. That's real. No. And so I had to get out of that shit because I also don't want to be the person going back and forth with people on Facebook about some stupid shit. And it's made me a lot happier because I don't have to look at that. And it's like both sides. A lot of people are like, because I'm a liberal, but I hate the way that liberals speak. They're just so like I went to Creston. People made fun of me for 4 years straight. You know what I mean? And now people are like, dude, don't say anything about that person. And it's like, I hate soft people and I hate uninformed people. So it's basically the left and the right on Facebook. Mm. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be in it. There was this one girl who was like, she was what you would call, like she called herself this, a social justice warrior. Mm. And she would just go off. I remember one time she was like, people on the bus who sit like this, that's manspreading. And I'm like, I sit like that all the time. And you know what? You want to know something? When people get on the bus, I intentionally move my backpack to my lap. And then people just look at me like I'm a weirdo who wants people to sit next to him. So I don't know what in the fuck you're talking about. And that was like the final straw for me. I was like, you know what? If I don't get off of this, I'm going to say something dumb. And I knew somewhere down the line that I was going to try and have a business venture that would need a Facebook. So I was like, you know I said fuck bridges earlier, but I didn't want to burn that bridge. So I was like, I'm going to just save this and put this away. Yeah.
All right.
Plus, there's no famous people on Facebook. It's a bunch of non-famous people with opinions. Fuck you guys. Bridge burnt.
If you could spend time with one comedian, living or dead, who would it be and why?
One comedian, living or dead. I mean, that sucks. Can I do one living and one who's dead?
Sure.
That would resolve it.
All right.
Living Larry David, dead Richard Pryor.
All right.
Because, okay, so I would spend time with probably, like, before he got multiple sclerosis, not smoking weed. Even though I'm sure he was funny up until the day he died, I wouldn't have a problem with that. But I would want to smoke around him, I think. I just would want that to be part of my experience. And then Larry David, I don't even, like, now that I think about that, I'm not even sure if he would like me. I feel like he would find me annoying, but I don't care because I would be like, I just want to soak up whatever. I just want to see you write an episode of Curb. That's basically what I want because I tried to Google, like, I wrote a sketch recently that is going to go up on, like, the 10th or something, but I wrote it as what I would envision a Curb episode to be written like, but I was trying to find an actual script, and there's none. There's literally none. Because he improvs the whole thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, he writes an outline, but I was trying to find one. There's none of mine. It's like one that comes with this special edition thing that was sold, like, auctioned off, and there's no more. But yeah, those two. I'd hang out with those two guys. And cool. Shit.
What would you do with $1 million American money?
Oh, God. What would I do with $1 million? I would. Okay. Did I earn this $1 million or did someone
give it? It just appeared out of nowhere. All of a sudden, you got $1 million.
I would buy all the typical, you know, black guy shit. I'd buy, like, fucking clothes. I'd probably pose with some rappers. Start a record label, bro. No, I wouldn't do that. I would definitely buy clothes. I'd definitely find rappers. I'd buy a shit ton of weed. I'd invest some of that money. I'd, like, make a business around here. I don't know what it would be, though. I would probably, at this point right now, if I got $1 million, I would literally buy all the shit I needed to do comedy for a long ass time. But a lot of weed. I buy a lot of weed. I would buy enough weed. I don't think I would buy that much weed. I would have a weed fund set up because I don't like buying a lot at a time because the latter end of it goes stale. Mm-hmm. But I would be like, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Like, I would set 10 G's aside and be like, that is for the month or something. I don't know.
Damn.
Like, around there. I don't know. If I had $1 million and there was just like, I could smoke as much as I want to, I would do that. I'd take a trip.
Where would you go?
I would go to, I want to say Canada. I would probably go to, I don't know why. I don't know why. I think I saw this Anthony Bourdain episode, and they had really good food, and like the idea of just getting stoned and eating like, you know, Canadian food appeases me. I don't really want to go anywhere abroad because they all seem fucked up right now. So I'm like, I don't really want to go. Plus, like, travel is such an interesting thing to talk about with like white people and shit, to be honest, because people are like, I want to go to Germany, or I would love to go to Russia. And I'm like, I don't want to go to none of those. I don't want to. It's hard enough moving around in this bitch. It's like, I don't want to go to over there. They don't have, they didn't have Martin Luther King. Who's the Martin Luther King of Russia? Who am I going to be able to point out and be like, don't hang me, that guy said don't do it. It's like, no, man, I'm staying in the U.S. It gives me a weird patriotic slant because people are like, I just want to move out of the country. I'm like, that's your right, isn't it? I'm good, though. They don't even know if they like us yet over there. Plus, they'll probably try and deport me for real. See, over here, I can't get deported because they'll be like, you were here since the beginning, weren't you? I'll be like, damn right, we were. See, this bridge, somebody helped build this. But over there, we don't have any investment, so they can't just kick us out.
Hmm.
Yeah, we have what would you say, a controlling interest in the country.
Yeah.
Via blood, sweat, and tears. So, yeah, I would probably go to fucking Canada, I guess.
Like Montreal.
Where did they go? Quebec. I would go to Quebec. Just because I saw the restaurant there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that would be cool.
Get some poutine.
Yeah, probably. Some poutine. I'm so immature. We're fucking... I would also do that with my money. I would see... Okay, that's the other thing. If you've been in Grand Rapids the entire time, you don't understand the joy of a strip club. Strip clubs are fucking awesome. I've been to a strip club during the day with, like, the construction workers, and it was still awesome in Detroit. And so I'd probably visit a lot of strip clubs. I'd probably catch a STD.
Yeah, because Grand Rapids, there's, like, they can't show anything. There's no areolas.
Yeah, there's no strip. There's no strip club. It's a dance club or whatever you want to call it. There's no peeling of clothes. And just by the way, I am friendly towards both. Not that I would visit both, but we should have male strippers and female strippers. Let's everybody strip. Everybody get naked. That's what Grand Rapids needs, is more naked people. That's what I would do with $1 million. I would make sure that there was more naked people just around. I would also, okay, last thing. I would also make sure I had enough money to basically get like a pink, maybe like a BMW crop drop top, a pink fur, all pink outfit, like gaiters and shit, and go to the Meanwhile with it. Just not anything glamorous. Just go to the Meanwhile at like 4 in the afternoon and just turn it the fuck out. I also, okay, sorry, you gave me the $1 million question.
Sure.
I also would go and shit on every place that I hated quitting. So I would go back to like, I would go to the Bob. I would go to the Bob and just be so obnoxious. Which, interesting fact for those of you not in the service industry, when black people walk into restaurants, more often than not, they are referred to as Canadians, which is a code word for you ain't getting shit for tips. This is facts. Or facts, you know, in the internet age, so not really. But it is true, though. Canadians, that is a real thing. Or not. So I would go and be the biggest Canadian in the Bob and maybe tip 0.1%.
Huh.
Nah, I tip my server, but I would make sure I gave my manager a hard time. For sure.
All right.
Yeah.
If you could tell your 16-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
Stop jerking off so much. That would probably be it.
Metaphorically or literally?
No, literally. Stop it. Put your penis down and go do something. Get out there. No, I would tell myself, I don't know. Because I guess like my thing would be like be more confident in yourself because you're going to try out. But I don't think if I was that confident, or I don't think if I was confident at the age, I would be the person I am now. You know what I mean? At 16, I was fucking at Creston. You know what I mean? It was like the movie Dangerous Minds for me. I came from like a suburban, super nice high school to go into like a place where like everybody's pregnant. Either that. This is the context. People talk about school shootings. People shot guns in the school all the time at Creston. Not all the time, but at least one time I could think of. Where dudes shot off a gun in the bathroom. It was like nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Not at a person, but just...
No, it is up in the air. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? And, like, school didn't even let out. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you get all this press about, like, you know, obviously you should or people die. But I'm just saying, like it's a thing. It's different perils. So I think I would just tell myself, you know, I don't even know. I'd be like, just stop jerking off so much. That'd probably be the main thing. Stop Googling so much shit. Read some more books. Credit is a thing. That's what I would tell myself. Credit is a thing. And don't fuck it up. Because that's exactly what I did. I was like, I don't know what credit is. Fuck that light bill.
Yeah, there should really be more in-depth personal finance classes for high school kids.
I was in fucking... Not like people like say foster care. Foster care is like when you have a foster mom. I was a ward of state. So if anybody, I don't know, whoever's listening from here, they know St. John's Boys or St. John's Boys Home for Troubled Children. I was there. St. John's Home for Troubled Children is not a boys' home. But so I was there. I was being raised by a state. And that's one of my biggest grievances. It's like, dude, they could have told us about all this shit. Like when we were, you know what I mean? Because you know, it's not like you're going to be living with your parents when you're 19. As soon as you're 18, they're like, get the fuck out. So it's like, why didn't you tell us about this? Like, I had no idea what credit was. I had an apartment like this when I first got out because I made a check for $500 a month. I was like, fuck it. The rent's only $550. And I took it. You know what I mean? Right up the street on Fulton and Union. And, like, I would get bills for the heat. I'd be like, yeah, I don't know what that is.
Oh, no.
And just leave it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then, like, they sent me a shutoff notice, but it was spring. So it was like, well, I'm moving out anyway. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, that was my level of intelligence at, you know, 18 at that point. But at 16, I would have liked to start learning about that shit. You know what I mean? Like, what life is. Grocery shop. How to survive on $20. Yeah. So I think I would tell myself how to do all that shit so I'd be ahead by now. I might have a car if I had known that. Probably not because I hate driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is hot AF in here.
Yeah. I'll crack open another window.
I know. You're all good, man. Let's keep it going.
Yeah, it's toasty in here. All right. So that concludes the typical interview portion. But now let's move on to talking about podcasting.
Let's do it.
All right. So I'm going to get up for a second and open this window.
Right on.
Sorry if there's any more background noise, but it is, 86 degrees in here right now, which
yeah,
is a bit much.
Yeah, it's fucking hot as shit. You have a thermometer somewhere?
Yeah, in the fan.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you didn't tell me that. So I'm like, hey, all right, let's cut this the fuck off. We need a fan. Holy shit, it is super hot.
Yeah. All right, so if you want to just start discussing your interest in podcasting.
Basically... So I'm not looking to be like the new Opie and Anthony or anything like that. I'm just, I want to create relevance. You know what I mean? My whole thing is about, so I want to create a platform for comedians and shit. You know what I mean? In general, similar to what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like you're giving us a chance to do interviews, people who, you know, rightfully should not even be interviewed. Like, you know, who wants to know about me? You know what I'm saying? That's ridiculous. But we appreciate it because it's like you took time to set that up. I want to do the same thing. My big thing is like subversion, you know what I mean, of like Grand Rapids culture because it's kind of stale, you know what I mean? Like, in the sense where it's safe and it's like, a culture that is to me sterile as ours, is not acknowledging things. Instance, the Fifth Third Bank downtown. A lot of people don't know that it used to be a theater. A lot of people don't know that a theater back in the 20s or something like that, which there's a plaque on it for the city's credit. They don't know that, like, that theater was part of a lawsuit in which, like, there was a black dentist in town back in the 20s and shit. Mm-hmm. He wanted to sit in the main area because he's a fucking dentist. He has money.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a section, which is like, I think that's the mezzanine where it's like elevated. Mm-hmm. That's where the black people went. Okay. And he was like, fuck that. I have money. I want to sit down here. So he sued. And then he won that case in the Michigan Supreme Court. It was like one of the first cases about discrimination won in the Supreme Court in Michigan in the 20s. Hmm. His lawyer was killed afterwards.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, wait. Died mysteriously. Let me put died mysteriously. I don't want to put intent on things. You know what I'm saying? But still, you know what I'm saying? Like, people don't know that about, like, little things that we pass by every day.
Yeah.
And so there's this, I feel like, culture of suppression around here.
Hmm.
Like, you get the sense that the city is trying to apologize for things without acknowledging realities. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
It's the same sense of, you know, you have your mayor talking about racial equity, but then walk down Eastern. Where the fuck are the opportunities? You know what I mean? Shit like that. So, anyway, getting back to what we were saying. My whole, you know, I want to put on the podcast, I want the podcast to be like, no holds barred. I want it to be somewhere where people can establish that there are people who are not necessarily what people would term as clean, living in the city limits, commenting on things in the city, you know, to establish that that section of the population does in fact exist. Because I think if you create that space for honesty, you know, it'll be constructive. If we can, you know, loosen the ties, so to speak, a little bit and realize that we're not all perfect and that we do think about perverted, weird, fucked up shit, then we can move on and, you know, be honest with ourselves and then really reconcile. Because, you know, there's one side of the population who thinks that this is like a city of great opportunity. And there's another side of the population who remembers all that shit and you're like, man, fuck Grand Rapids, it's racist as shit. Mm. You know what I mean? And I'm not one of those people who, you know, a lot of people were like, I was like in Sparrows or something the other day, and some, like, this white lady was basically telling me, like, how shitty it was for her to be white in some, like, context. It was like, I forget what we were talking about, but basically she was like, yeah, we were on some white people shit, and I was like, you know, I'm not that person who, like, just, like, who determines things as, like, a white people problem or, like, a black people problem and shit, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, there is I think it's more of a class issue at this point. You know what I mean? I lived over on the northeast side, and there's broke white people over there too. You know what I mean? But there's been this thing where people have been literally and figuratively redlined out of access to things. You know what I'm saying? And so within this bubble, we are creating like this like rosy picture of like prosperity, and it's getting better. But it was never bad for you guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, for the people who it's still shitty, you know what I mean? For certain people. So, you know, I think that, hopefully, idealistically, I guess, this podcast can do something similar to that. But really, at the core of it, I just want somewhere where I can smoke weed all the time and opinionate on things on air. I think that would be fun.
How do you think you can get the people who you're criticizing to listen to that type of criticism?
I don't really care about them. I want the people who don't have anybody to speak for them to listen first. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like a section that can be mobilized within itself. Yeah, you know, if you have a, you have the Malcolm X up here. Have you seen the movie?
Not yet. The Denzel.
Not yet. It came out in 92. Get on that shit.
Yeah.
There's a scene outside of the, what's his name? Talmadge Hayes or something like that. I think they talk about that in the book, though. And, like, the dude gets beat up by the police. And then Malcolm X brings out, like, you know, I'm gonna be fucked up over here talking about, you don't want to make comedy like Malcolm X. Somebody's listening right now. They're like, get that motherfucker right now. But fuck it. I don't care. Like, he gets beat up by the police. And then Malcolm X, you know what I mean, brings, like, basically, like, the, I think it's, like, the fruit of Islam. That's what you call it. Basically, their military unit. You know what I mean? But it's just, you know, black people organized. You know what I'm saying? And, like, they move on the dots. Like, the brothers were sharp. Like, you know, he said, left face. And they all, left face. And, like, this is in front of police. Mm-hmm. And the police are just like, ugh, you know what I'm saying? What, and, what did, and, like, in the movie, like, one of the police guys is like, no one man should have all that power. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And I'm of a similar mindset where it's like, people who are whatever you want to call disenfranchised, mm-hmm. so like your system people, anybody who has contact with the system, you know what I mean? Like, from like right over here where they used to have to get food stamps over at. So like people who know what it's like to spend jail time, to people who are been to Kids First or like foster care, or anybody who's just basically like, man, fuck that shit. You know what I mean? Who, anybody who can mutter that shit out of life, you know what I mean? You know, take that out of their general life in the city. You know what I mean? I think there's enough of us to not, I don't have to, you know, obviously I want to cross over and have people all come together, but I'm not trying to compromise shit in order to go to the negotiating table. I want to be able to be like, we're here. And now everybody's listening. And now everybody's kind of on the same page. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, now you got to deal with all of us. You know what I'm saying? Versus dealing with one of us and buying us off. And now you're on our side. Nah, nah, fuck that. We got one side and you got to make the shit equal. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm going for, I guess. You know, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
So it sounds like maybe you want to build an audience so that you can be an advocate for their interests.
I ain't trying to be no fucking advocate. I ain't trying to do all that extra shit. But what I am saying is, as far as the, you know, like prior man, prior voiced the anger. You know what I'm saying? He did shit behind the scenes, but no way, I don't think anybody would be like, he was an advocate. He wasn't like out here like Angelina Jolie, you know what I mean, building hospitals and shit. That's not me. Like,
raising awareness. Yes,
yeah. But raising awareness, you know what I mean? Raising awareness and, man, like, the veneer of friendliness is, like, annoying to me. Because it's, you know, nationwide, globally, and locally, people are fucked up out here. So why are we acting like it's, like, this, like, smiley face situation? Like, I'm not into that shit, you know what I mean? I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, I like contention naturally, I guess. And this is an environment for it. So if I can introduce to something that, you know, if somebody could listen to the podcast and like one person's like, ah, that's funny, you know, and then the other person's like, that's a little risque. I want the person who thinks it's a little risque to turn that shit off. And I want to concentrate on the people who are like, this is cool, this is fun. You know what I mean? This is just people being loose and not worrying about superficiality or an image or any of that shit, because I'm not worried about an image. You know what I mean? That's my thing. I'm not everybody gets it, including myself. Everybody gets hit by it, including myself, when I'm talking shit. You know what I mean? And so it's like, it's not a thing where everybody's not equal in that sense, and there's not a targeted, you know, audience that I'm looking to, you know, ostracize. I'm just going for everybody. But, you know, I think everybody should feel that good. I don't know if that answered that question at all. Fuck it, man.
So, like, what is the format that you're looking to maybe do? Is it just, like, conversational? Or
conversational. Structured? I think I want to do something like Steve Wilkos, where we have, like, a loose topic, but we go all over the place. You know what I mean? I have, the thing is, I'm banking on the people that I have involved in it. So we have, like, Luis Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking funny.
A stand-up comic?
Yeah, stand-up comic. And then my friend Matt McHugh, who's in this band called Oliver Houston and shit. And it's kind of like a party punk, you know what I mean, type of group. But they're dope, you know what I mean? I've seen them. But me and McHugh worked together at Jimmy John's, and I was noticing, dude, every Wednesday and Thursday, we were just, we'd have like people staying past their sandwiches because they're looking at us because we're just going back and forth. When we talk about the same shit, we have fun. So I was like, we get these three people in a room because me and Luis, like, we're cool too. We both smoke. We're both chilling. Like, we're there on Tuesdays. And he's a chill dude. You know what I mean? He adds that. I get kind of turned up. So it's like somebody who's chill is good for the podcast. But us three, I just envision, I'm like, we can make something out of something. And that's the thing about Grand Rapids, too. It's like the next coolest person to come from the city is either Floyd, depending on how you look at it, which I'm a fan of Floyd. I fucking, outside of domestic violence, not really cool with that. But his cockiness, I just love it.
Floyd Mayweather?
Oh, yeah, Floyd okay. Mayweather. He came to my high school in senior year, so it's just some weird bias like that. Plus, he got kicked out of every high school in GRPS, which, in insight to my mind state, I think that's cool. But him and then Al Green, which is like 50 years ago. So what I'm saying is, like, no one can judge you.
The musician, you know what
I mean?
Green.
I mean, yeah, the musician, Al Green, you know what I mean? So no one can judge you on success or effectiveness or, like, whatever you do in this city because ain't nobody else doing shit. You know what I mean? So if we give this a shot and it doesn't work out, well, then we'll reformulate and do it again because we got the infrastructure to do it. You know, I'm all for the experimentation and I'm not really concerned about how well it comes out initially because I see this as a time for experimentation, really finding your footing, you know?
So you'd want to have multiple hosts, like permanent hosts on the show?
Yeah. I mean, we'll start with us three. So, you know, Maddie, me, and Luis. You know, and then, you know, obviously, like, special guests, you know. And that's the other thing. I had a network where I, like, know a lot of people. You know what I mean? And interesting people. So, you know, the thing about over here is, like, there aren't, you know, you go to Chicago, there's a Kanye there. There's a mad people from Chicago who are famous. From Grand Rapids, I could do Henry from the Meanwhile, and fucking people would know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about? Henry,
the bottle and can man.
The bottle and can man. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. And we're at that level where we can still bring those people on, and that will get hits because people are like, holy shit, Henry's on the radio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Shit like that. So it's like, you know, that's what's, it's such a fertile time for me in Grand Rapids, you know what I mean? To do some shit because you have that opportunity, you know what I mean? But yeah, I want to do something like that where we're really establishing the culture, not by trying to, you know, falsely construct some vision of it, such as like a beer city, because what the fuck is that? You guys just built a bunch of breweries and shit and called it beer city. Fair enough. But let's mine off of people who are actually here and show its face. You know what I mean?
The real culture, because drinking beer is not
the real culture. I fart every time I'm on Ionia. It's just one long crop dust. It's fucked up, man. Nah, yeah. The real. I like to balance it. Like, I feel like there's genuine shit in what I'm trying to do, but I don't want to be aloof about the shit and be like, you know, this is better than anybody else. It's just, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, I know what I'm trying to do. I don't know about anybody else. I'm just trying to do what the fuck I do. Yeah.
Yeah. But it can take a really long time to build an audience. Like, for a sure. significant audience.
I'm aggressive in general. But marketing-wise, I'm like, that's the other thing. You know what I mean? Like, people in the city, I think we're coming to a point. You had your house shows. You had the hardcore movement for a while. You've had people, the fucking, the bricks and the rap movement over there and like Billy's and shit, poetry, yada, yada. But the thing about all these movements is that they've been reluctant to see it from a business standpoint. You know what I mean? And I am not because I have three jobs and I want to quit all of them. I tell people this all the time. I'm like, I'm trying to fill out a 1099 at the end of the year. Realistically, will that happen? Maybe not. But I'm going for that shit. And so, you know, marketing is a part of that thing. You know, promotion is a part of that thing. Yeah. I think people take time, you know, they want to organically build audience. They want people to be like, they want to feel discovered versus like you shopped it to someone. But I'm like, if I'm selling somebody something that they could use anyway, I have no problem selling to them. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I have a plan on how I want to get out here and expose and get out there. But I definitely am not trying to passively just collect listeners. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to get out there and get on my feet and be like, yo, you should listen to this. And I know a lot of cross sections, too. So it's like if you get 15 people from every cross section, you know what I mean, that I know, that's anywhere from like 90 to 115 people without me actually trying. So it's like, you know, if I actually try and, you know, promoting it everywhere, I don't know if it's going to work, but I don't know anybody who's tried at this point.
That's a good point.
So
yeah,
got to be willing to try. That's the main thing.
Would you want to focus primarily on Grand Rapids issues, or would you want it to be like a more broad discussion?
Raw discussion. You know, I mean, it can go anywhere. You know what I mean? But the point is that it's conversation being generated from this city. You know, I think that the election taught me a lot in the sense where the world, or at least this country, is moving towards localized things. The problem with the national news market is that it's stretched so thin over so many markets that how do you relate to that person giving you the news on CNN? If this is a person who you know, hey, I saw you hosting at Stella's the other day. Oh, you serve tables at the Meanwhile. So if you can't inherently trust me, you know that you can hold me accountable because I'm around. You know what I'm saying? And if I'm opinionating, you can hold me accountable. And it's not Facebook where everybody's on this equal platform of just say this and disappear. But I have a podcast now. You know what I mean? And I'm out here and I'm not apologizing for it. So it's like, you know that you can come up and hold me accountable for that shit. And I think that, you know, people will be attracted to having somebody who is not afraid to say whatever, because I'm not. You know what I mean? That's my thing. Like, it's not like a gimmick or some shit. You know what I mean? Like, where it's like, I just want to be controversial just because. Like, I don't fucking care about controversy. But I do care about being genuine. And you know that moment? Like, have you ever gotten to, like, kind of an argument with somebody? And then you walk away and you think of five things to say. You're like, man, if I could have this argument again. Like, what was it? I was working at the bar at Houlihan's and shit. And what did I ask? I was running someone's food. And so I was like, what seat is this? And she told me, and then she was making my drink. And she was like, so if I wasn't here, what would you have done? Like, kind of trying to be like, basically like, you know, figure it out yourself. And at that moment, I was so flustered. Like, I was busy. And like, I was like, who is this coming at me like this? I couldn't think of what to say. But then it pissed me off because after I left, I was thought of like 15 billion things to say. And they were all good. They were all super witty. I hate that moment. I'm just like, just say it. Just say it right out. So, you know, like, I think if people have that person who's like, you know, anybody can get it. Anybody can get it. And I'm dedicated to being informed. I'm dedicated to being informed and knowing what's going on. I think that that's one of the things. There's no transparency in government around here. So, you know, there's a bunch of multi things that I'm trying to touch and hold people, not necessarily accountable, because I'm no one to hold anyone accountable, but to at least be like, hey, these people are doing these things. Like, did you know that your senator in Grand Rapids was crying on Capitol Hill this last Thursday? Because he missed his first vote ever. And tales are, on Capitol Hill, Mr. Justin Amash got really emotional. Yeah.
He's our congressman.
He's our congressman. Yeah, congressman. Yeah.
He missed. Oh, I didn't know he missed a vote.
Yeah, he missed a vote. His first vote.
Yeah.
Missed his first vote.
He votes on everything. He posts on Facebook how he voted and why, which.
Check it out. Not this last one. He tried to actually run in late and was like, and they were like, there's no precedent for this. You can't just vote late. We already counted him. And he's like, come on. And, you know, they said that the headline on Politico is that Justin Amash cried over his missed vote.
That shows his passion. Like, I don't agree with every opinion he has.
Yeah.
He's more of a libertarian Republican. And I don't agree with all of his policies, but I respect the way that he handles himself, the way that he makes his opinions public, and the way that he votes public. And he's very open. He communicates everything to his constituents. And I voted for him every chance that I've had.
I think my thing is, like, how people communicate to the constituents. Like, to me, like, I'm like, that, I don't know, posting something is not communicating to me. I want, and this is just, I don't know, some real Mr. Smith goes to Washington idealism, I guess. But it's like, I want to see this person. I want to see this person in life. Like, you know, hold a fucking town hall. Do something like that.
He does.
You know
what I mean?
Where?
All over the county.
But where? Like, when? Like, where? You
gotta follow his Facebook page.
I want to follow his Facebook page. He should be following me. You want my vote. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just think it's like, I want people to be, I guess I would want everybody to be on Wealthy Street. I think, I don't really want to leave Wealthy Street. I'm fucking lazy. I don't know. Come to the meanwhile and tell me your political views and then leave. Buy me a drink before you leave. I'm demanding. I don't know. I'd say I was reasonable.
So you said that you like to be informed. So how do you normally inform yourself? Like, what are your sources of information?
I read the news. I don't do cable television because I'm like, no, there's too many elements at play. There's too much simplifying of, like, concepts for me. But I like to cross between, like, National Review and, like, conservative publications, Examiner and Washington, and then read, like, my New York Times and my Washington Post. Because, as much as I hated to admit it, there is a liberal media bias. Like, that is a thing. It's mainly because mostly the people are liberal in the sense where they don't want to be, like, I don't know, fascist? But, you know what I'm saying? Like, there is a majority of liberal people in the media. So, if anything this election taught me again was you need to know what the fuck people are doing over here. Because you can't just let people to themselves. You know what I mean? It's a smaller population of people who are conservative in that way. And they have an easier time organizing. That's why you can't get liberals all on the same page. There's so many of them. And it's such a wide spectrum. So I make sure that I pay attention to that type of shit. Or whatever. And then here, it's like, locally, it's like a combination of, like, I don't even go straight to MLive anymore. I just really Google Grand Rapids, go to the news, and just flip through headlines, and then hearsay. And finding, like, sources in the city to tell me what the hell is going on, you know what I mean, on commission, on, you know, what's happening in the city. Because it's not, I don't know, I don't feel like it's proliferated very well. You know, the information getting down to it. It's like, yeah, they got Facebook, they got these holdings, but it's like, you know, I don't know. The way I see the city, and maybe I see the city in different city limits than most people do, you know what I mean, but I've never, you know, outside of Vandenberg, who isn't even on the commission yet, you know, that's the only person I've seen actively campaigning in where I'm at. You know what I mean? Like, being out there amongst people. You know what I mean? Like, just be amongst people. Like, I think that would be dope. Anyway, that's where I get my fucking information from. And I read. I'm a history person. I like a lot of history. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm a firm believer in you got to be able to understand that to understand now.
If you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it.
It's cyclical.
Yeah.
It's cyclical. That's what frustrates me about shit like, you know, people talking about, you know, LGBT rights and shit like that. Because it's like, I look at it, it's like, how many times do we have to have the same argument with subgroups? Like, just accept it. And so that way we don't have to do this. You know what I mean? That way we don't have to go through this shit. You know what I mean? You look at, like, fucking the Irish, the Italians, black people, you know what I mean? Women's rights. You know what I'm saying? traditional gay rights. And then it's like, it has to go through all these phases where people are like, oh, I don't like that. Nah, religion. Well, I guess religion says it's okay. I don't know if it should be legal, though. I guess it could be legal. Let's make a movie about it. All right, let's watch a movie. All right, fine. I'm okay with it. And this process takes 50 fucking years.
Yeah.
It's like, you didn't watch the movie on black people or women's rights or Irish or Italian people or any of those. Watch Gangs of New York.
Ooh,
some shit. You know what I mean?
Fantastic movie.
That's what I'm saying, though. It, and that illustrated to me that this isn't just a, like, it's not a selective thing. It's literally like watching, like trying to introduce new vegetables to kids. And they're just like, I don't want to eat a vegetable. But you eat ketchup. I don't like tomatoes. You know what I mean? And it's like, just eat the fucking tomato. Because I know what's good for you. Like, you know what I mean? And yeah. It's the thing where people think that if you ignore it, people are going to go away. No one's going away. You know what I mean? They were always here. No one's going away. So it's just frustrating me watching that shit go down. And it's, to me, people who are ignorant of history.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Catholics, even. Like you know what I mean? Like, people like were like, oh, Catholic, that's fucking weird. Like, you know what I mean? Huge anti-Catholic conspiracies in the 20s. And now, Catholics are the new, like, conservatives. They're just like, we don't want these Mexicans. It's like, you were the Mexicans of the early fucking 20th century. Don't you remember? It's like, it's fucking ridiculous. Pisses me off.
Yeah. You ever read The Rapidian?
Yeah, but it's not really effective to me that often. I mean, it's effective to me as an infrastructure and, like, you know, how they take citizen journalism.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the articles are, like, soft to me. You know what I mean? Like,
I think you can reach a wider base of people if you're not taking the stronger, more controversial opinions.
No. Facts. Facts. I don't give a fuck about that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, people need to... People need to respect facts. If you are bringing an opinion that is unpopular without backing it up with evidence and facts, that's one thing. But if I bring you facts and I bring you evidence of said facts, and then I conclude my opinion off of that, and you say, "Well, I don't know. I just think that you were being too sharp with that," and like, that's your fault. You need to adapt. You know what I mean? Like, there are just certain things that are indisputable. It's like how people feel about fucking climate change.
Yeah.
It's like, no, no, here's evidence. Here are facts. Like, this thing is melting, but people want to deny it anyway. So it's like, you know, I don't believe in that. I think right now it's like, if you, you know, and I learned that in debate class, you have to embody someone else's argument in order to make a, you know, effective argument for yourself. And I think that smart people will do that. So if I go through that process of not only explaining myself, but standing in your shoes and explaining it from your side, and then drawing conclusion off such, and then you still don't fuck with it, then you're a moron, and I'm okay with saying so. No. And it's like, you know what? That's why I was glad when morons didn't vote. I think that's what happened this time around, where people were like, well, hey, I can vote. And it's like, we all, that's the ironic thing to me. Like, every election, they'd be like, well, voter turnout was pretty good, but it could have been better. And now we have great voter turnout, and now people are like, maybe some people should have stayed at home. It's like, well, yeah, because you were, you know what I mean? You weren't requiring people to actually, like, back up their opinions with facts. Hmm. So they took those opinions to the polls. Whatever.
All right. So, like, how frequently would you like to publish this podcast?
Weekly.
Like, one episode per week?
Yeah. Weekly. Keep it, like, an hour. You know what I mean? Keep it short, sweet. Keep it early during the week. You know what I mean? One of my biggest, I guess, tactics or whatever the fuck you want to call it, is that you have to get in people's bedrooms before you can bring them out for a live show. You have to be, because I remember this actually really clear as day. It was like last year when I was staying off Isabella Court, and I was sitting there, and I was fucking, I think I was watching like GGN, which is like Snoop Dogg's like podcast and shit, but you know, it's a live show. It brings people on there. And I was sitting there in my bathrobe smoking a blunt, and I was like, you know what? You, like, I would constantly see people, like, going through the effort of, like, making flyers and promote and promote and promote and promote and making Facebook shit, and 15 people will show up. And it's because you're not there with them during the week. You're not there. You're not creating relevancy. You're not there when they need to study or when they want to just chill out and smoke. You know what I mean? Because that's YouTube, basically. Like, that's where you need to be. You need to be somewhere where people can Google you with one hand and rolling up with the other, and they don't really have to give a fuck about you until they turn you on, and then they start to love you like that. You know what I mean? But if you're asking people to come out on some random Thursday, you haven't spoken to them, you know what I mean? It's like if you threw a birthday party for yourself, but you didn't fuck with any of your friends for half a year. It's like, what do you expect the turnout to be? You know, those people who post on Facebook, oh, I didn't get any birthday wishes. Well, that's because you don't fuck with people. You're just inside all the time. You expect people to just, you know, be to honor you because you did some shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how that works. You gotta create a reason for them to come out to you. So this all builds towards that. Like, at the end of the year, I want to do a internet show. You know what I mean? Like a, you know, an internet show.
Like, for YouTube or?
Yeah. Yeah. I do, but multiple platforms, because I want to be able to work around that in case they try and fuck me over. But I want to do that. But I wanted to do that last year at the end of the year. And then I was like, if I had go through the effort of making this thing, throw together all this production, like scoop every cent into it, it will be a bust because I'm not on Facebook and I'm not out there like that. And so I was like, so is that how you have to do it? You got to be on Facebook? And I was like, nah, that's not it. You got to be in people's ears. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's part of my, like, thing with, like, you know, no holds barred. It's like, you know, you have to keep people listening in the same sense. And when it's so easy to do so by just being honest, it's like a no-brainer to me. You know what I mean? Just be fucking honest. Just be yourself. And I feel like people will, if you build it, they will come. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Field of Dreams type shit. So, yeah, I'm going for it. And that's the huge underlying principle of it, is I'm just trying. You know what I mean? Like, at least I fucking tried. You know what I mean? Like, you know, other people can say whatever the fuck they want to, but are you trying to do anything? You know what I mean? Because I want to employ my friends. Like, I think that would be fucking cool if we could not, like, have side jobs and just do this. Yeah, that'd be fucking sweet. But it's gonna take somebody to go out there basically by themselves first, which is a lesson I had to learn. You know what I mean?
And it takes a lot of time.
A lot of time. Like,
years.
And a lot of just, because I'm like motivated on a level that I don't think a lot of people are, simply because my life has made me more desperate than that. You know what I mean? Like I've had like a crazy ass life. You know what I'm saying? If you come from stability, you know what I mean? Like, failure, I feel like, or whatever you constitute as failure, doesn't seem as much of a big deal, because there's always some sort of compromise you go to. But my life has never been, I don't have those gray areas. So it's like, if I fail, I'm just like, I fucking failed. You know what I mean? I failed. No one else is going to take it harder than me. So I want it like really fucking bad. So it's like, you know, when you bring that amount of like intensity to the table, you have to also be able to step back and be like, well, the reason why people are not tweaking like you are is because they, A, don't see it yet. It's not their thing. And B, they haven't, you know what I mean? Like, most people haven't gone hungry for more than a couple days, so they don't know what the fuck that's like. You know what I mean? But I have. So it's like, I know what that's like. And so it's like, I want, it's that same hunger. You know what I mean? That's motivating me. But, you know, I can't expect everybody to be off that shit. You know? Yeah.
Just from my past 9 episodes of experience, I would say an hour is probably not enough, because even with just 2 people, we're already at an hour 40.
Really?
Today. Yep.
Holy shit. It's vodka, man.
Yeah. It speeds things up or slows things down. Whatever it is.
What fucking time is it?
It is 6 p.m. right now.
Sweet, dude. We got to get off in a half hour. We got to get there.
We got that show, A Dog Story, at 7. Yeah. Should get there a little early. So unless there's anything else you want to talk about podcast-wise, we can call the interview section and then take a short break.
Shoot, I'm cool with that. my podcast tentatively will be called Vocal Minority, but don't steal it or I'll find you and kill you. Ah, but it wasn't me that did it. Ahead of time for the lawyers. That's it.
All right.
This is fucking awesome. I love this.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Shout out to you, man, for real, for doing this. This is what I'm talking about. Like, you just did this shit. Do you even do improv for real?
No.
And you just like to watch why? It. Why are you doing this?
I wanted to participate more deeply in the comedy scene without actually getting up on stage in front of people.
Yeah.
And a lot of my relationships with comedians were kind of superficial. Like, we would get beers after the shows or whatever, but we never got to have that like one-on-one yeah. conversation to get deeper into like comedy and just life in general.
So. Yeah. That is fucking awesome. Honestly, like, I love this because you know what? You're really establishing like something legitimate. You know, the feeling of being able to say something on mic. You know what I mean? Like, and have other people hear it. Like, that's really super cool. So, shout out to you, man. For real, for real.
Thank you.
Good shit, man.
Well, I haven't had time to set up a musical transition into the break yet.
I got one.
Yeah. So, if you want to do any sort of whatever you're feeling, and then ring the bell when you're done.
Okay.
So, I know to turn it off.
Okay. All right. You ready?
Ready. Thank you.
You blow my mind, baby. I'm right on time. That's the Gap Band by Outstanding. Or that's the Outstanding by Gap Band. It's the vodka.